Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 12, I'm going to be reading verses 46 to 50, and out of reverence to God, please stand as this word is read. Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 46. While he was still speaking with the crowds, his mother and brothers were standing outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." He replied to the one who was speaking to him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." You may be seated. As we continue in our study in the Gospel of Matthew, let me remind you where we were on Wednesday. We're looking at verses 43 through 45, where Jesus is talking about the evil generation. Previously, the Pharisees had come to him and said, "Give us a sign so that we'll believe you." Now, this is immediately after he took a man who had one paralyzed, shriveled hand and healed it in their presence. He had been doing miracle after miracle, casting out every demon, healing every disease. And they said, "Give us a sign." You go, "What's going on?" Because even Nicodemus, one of the Pharisees who came to Jesus in the middle of the night, and we see that recorded in John chapter 3, says, "We know you're from God because no one could do the miracles you're doing if God were not with him." But the miracles the Pharisees were asking for, and were told in the Gospel of Luke that they were trying to do it to test him, they were looking for something in the celestial, make the stars do something special, make the sun or moon do something special, and then we'll believe. No, they had already decided they're going to try to kill Jesus because he was interfering with their control, their power. Even the high priest said it later, "If we don't do something, everybody's going to follow this Jesus guy. And then we'll lose our place. And the Romans will come and take over. So it's better that he dies." Well, they came to test Jesus. And Jesus said, "It's an evil generation that looks for a sign. The only sign you're going to get is the sign of Jonah." Jonah was in the belly of a great sea creature for 3 days and three nights. So the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth. The religious leaders understood he was talking about rising from the dead because they tried to post a guard, seal the tomb, to keep Jesus from getting out. When an angel came and rolled the stone away to show that the grave was empty, it wasn't to let Jesus out. He wasn't going, the angel was supposed to have been here 15 seconds ago. I'm waiting to get out. No, Jesus was already gone. The tomb was empty. The angel rolled the stone away to show everybody else the tomb was empty. And if you go to Israel today, you can go to several different places they call the empty tomb. They're all empty. Jesus was not held by a stone or by guards. Jesus rose from the dead, and they understood that. But they wouldn't listen to the truth. And then Jesus talks about, as we looked at in Wednesday's sermon, about how a demon, when it's cast out, it goes out what Jesus calls waterless places. It roams about. It goes, "I don't like this. So I'll go back to where I was." And it says it finds the former residents, that individual whose house is empty. And that was the key we talked about. Someone that has a demon cast out of him, someone that turns to religion but is not filled with God's Spirit, and that happens to every believer. You don't have to ask for God's Spirit to come on you. He's already there, but sometimes you try to suppress the truth. Well, the demon goes out, finds the house that he was cast from empty, and brings back others that are even worse than him. And the condition is worse. Jesus was talking about the empty religion the Pharisees had. They had kicked God's truth out and had added and supplanted God's truth with their rules. They were complaining that Jesus was healing on the wrong day of the week. The disciples were eating food when they were hungry, and it was the wrong day of the week to pick some grain from the field and eat it, because that's work, picking grain. And then if you rub the husk off, that's even more work. The Pharisees made it so hard with all their rules, you couldn't do anything. If you even moved a chair and it made a little groove in your wood and your dirt floor, that's plowing, and you've broken the commandment, don't work on the Sabbath. They had made so many burdens that God's intended day of rest for man had become the day that was the hardest to keep. And Jesus is warning that generation that looks for its way instead of God's way, things are going to be pretty bad. People try to earn their way to heaven. There are people that do many things, and it's been throughout the ages. There was a group in the Middle Ages, they would take and beat themselves with whips till they bled just to show their piety. That didn't get them any closer to God. God didn't say, go beat yourself with a whip. But Jesus is telling us the only way to be right with God is His way. This week we celebrate Thanksgiving. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Thanksgiving. I'm not going to tell you the whole story. But a group of Christians wanting to have religious freedom came to North America. Most of them died the first year. The next year is when they had Thanksgiving, because God had saved a group of them. God had provided an interesting Indian. Now, why do they call him Indians? Because Columbus thought he had reached China and the East Indies, not the West Indies. And so he called them Indians because he thought, well, we're an island off the coast of India. Well, Native Americans, I think, is the latest politically correct term, but it doesn't matter. The people that were here, there was a guy that had been taken to England. It was native to the area of Massachusetts, and he had learned English. He came back. His family was gone, but he came up and was able to help the pilgrims communicate with the other natives that were here. They helped each other. And it was the pilgrims and the Indians thanking God for what God had provided. Not the pilgrims weren't thanking the Indians. They did that too. But that wasn't what Thanksgiving was about, is thanking God. Even though they'd been through difficult times. We all face difficult times. And generally, at Thanksgiving, it's a tradition that most of us go home or get together with family. And that's appropriate, what we're talking about with today's sermon, because we want to be thankful that we're in God's family. But there are other families we can belong to. And so, Jesus is telling about true religion, saying there's empty religion and you're not going to get to heaven that way. And while he's still speaking to the crowds, his mother and his brothers were standing outside wanting to speak to him. The little word "too" carries a lot of importance. They're wanting to tell him something, not wanting to listen to what he has to say. Now, if you look with me for a moment, we can find out a little bit about what they're wanting to tell him. Look at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3. The Gospel of Mark, in chapter 3. And let's look at verse 20. Mark chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus entered a house, and the crowd gathered again so that they were not even able to eat. When his family heard this, they set out to restrain him because they said, "He is out of his mind." Now, Jesus' family, and who is his family they're talking about here? Well, they are his half-brothers, his Mary, who gave birth to Jesus, but also his brothers. And I lost my reference. Let's look at John chapter 7. There we go. John chapter 7. These are natural children born to Mary and Joseph after Jesus was born. John chapter 7, beginning in verse 3. If we look at the scripture about the birth of Jesus, we see that Jesus was born of Mary by the Holy Spirit, and Joseph did not have relations with her till after Jesus was born. But John chapter 3, beginning in verse 3, or John chapter 7, beginning in verse 3. Helps if I turn to the right chapter. So his brothers said to him, "Leave here and go to Judea, so that your disciples can see your works and that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he is seeking public recognition. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." For not even his brothers believed him. And his brothers and sisters had three brothers and two sisters. And the sisters are not named, and I cannot find my reference. Oh, well, I'll get that back to you Wednesday. Okay, Jesus, his half-brothers did not believe him. They thought he was crazy. They're standing outside wanting to tell Jesus, "You got to stop what you're doing." Because the religious leaders have been saying, "He's in league with the devil. He's casting out demons by Beelzebub. That's the only way he can do all these things he's doing. He's made an agreement with the devil." So his family's coming to try to talk to him, trying to reason with him, wanting to tell him that he is wrong. Now, that doesn't happen today, does it? There's nobody that tries to say, "God, you're wrong in what you said." Or do we do the same thing today? Do we use the Dalmatian version of the Bible? The Dalmatian version, we just take a spot here and a spot there and a spot there. Or the Swiss cheese version, we cut out the parts we don't like. There are a lot of people that ignore the majority of what God says because they want their way, not God's way. There are people that will even tell you, "I can ignore that part of the Bible because God told me I don't have to follow that part." Well, Jesus said, "Not until heaven and earth pass away." Okay, heaven's still out there, earth's still here, it hadn't passed away. Not one jot or tittle, that's one dotting of the I, crossing the T, will pass away from God's word. He didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. God's word is still applicable today. Jesus came to explain the true meaning, to show us how to live. But the Pharisees were ignoring the true meaning and going their own way. When Jesus is told that outside is your family. Now, if you want to know who claims to be your family, just let it be publicized that you just gained an inheritance. You're the long-lost relative of Howard Hughes. And all his wealth that's left is going to be given to you. Suddenly, you have 20,000 relatives you've never heard from before. They want to say they're part of your family because they want something. Well, Jesus is saying your salvation being part of God's family is not through false religion. It's not by earthly descent. Jesus even criticized the Pharisees. Don't say we have Abraham as our father. Abraham listened to my word, and you don't. And in chapter 7, let's turn there in Matthew, back up to chapter 7. Let's look at verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name? Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. Now, remember we talked about Jesus' brothers, his half-brothers. They didn't believe Jesus, but later on they did. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, it tells us that they became obedient to the faith. And if you look at the book of James, James, right after the book of Hebrews, was a half-brother of Jesus, a son of Mary and Joseph. Look at what James says about listening and hearing. James chapter 1, beginning verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like someone looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer who works, this person will be blessed in what he does. James is reminding us of what Jesus said here. It's not the one that hears the word, but the one that does it. Jesus even described the difference. Said, a man who hears the word and doesn't do what it says is like someone that built his house on sand. The one that hears the word and does what it says is like someone that built his house on the rock. Both houses experience storms, the exact same storms. The one built on sand crashed. The one built on the rock stood firm. And Jesus is the rock on which we're to build our foundation. What he said is what we need to do. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. Not that you earn salvation by obeying Jesus' commands, but you show you love Jesus by doing what he says. If you love somebody, you're going to do what they say, not ignore it. And then Jesus, back to our passage in Matthew, in verse 50, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. We've got a family fellowship for everybody that's here today, back in the fellowship home. But there is a fellowship for the family of God in heaven for all eternity. And everyone that's part of God's family will be there. Are you going to be at that family Thanksgiving? Or are you going to ignore what God is offering? He's offering forgiveness for our sin. And we're all guilty. We have all broken God's law. There is no one that's righteous. Not even one. There is no one who does good, not even one. We have all turned away. We've all forsaken. But God has poured out his love, came to his creation, paid the price. That's why we have the cross. Let's find the screen. Okay, the pulpit shaped like a cross. There's this cross behind the screen, too. I've got to pull it up. If you notice, the cross is empty. Jesus is not on the cross anymore. He is alive. And he's coming back to take us to be with him. But he's not going to take anybody who has refused to acknowledge their sin and accept his forgiveness. There's plenty of room at the table of God. But God's not going to force anybody to sit down in heaven. As we read in Matthew 7, he will tell them, depart from me, I never knew you. Not that you lost your salvation. You were never saved in the first place. Wednesday, we're going to look at Jesus explaining how some people hear the truth and are not saved, when he starts giving his parable of the seeds and the soil. If you do not know for sure that you're going to be at God's Thanksgiving feast, don't rest until you're sure. We're not going to sing a song so that we sing enough verses that somebody finally says, I'll go down, so they'll just stop singing. I remember growing up that way. The 24th verse of Just As I Am, and there are not 24 verses. We'll sing one more time until somebody comes. No. You can get right with God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, anywhere. The only time you can't get right with God is after you die. It's too late then. Because we are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. What choice are you going to make? Right now I ask you to stand with me for our closing prayer. Everybody is invited back. I see the light in the back. We got a little light that shines in the hallway. It used to be for our we need help in the nursery, but we also use it for the food is being served as soon as you get back there. So it's okay. I can send you back. I just need to bless it. Lord, thank you for your truth. Thank you that you are patient with us, explaining to us over and over again how we can be right with you, telling us that our way is wrong. We thank you that you have provided for forgiveness of our sin. We thank you that you love us so much that you did what was impossible for us to do. We thank you that you are coming back to take us with you, to be with you forever. We thank you you provided a place for us in heaven. Let us now show our thanks by following what you call us to do. And one thing you call us to do is to share the message of how to be saved with others. Yes, you pray in our situation, in Jesus' name.